Okay, today's daf is Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to start at the Mishnah on Tet Zayin Amabet in the middle. Ma bein tam lenua. We saw this Mishnah already, by the way. If you notice, we're quoting all the Mishnayot in advance for the most part. So by the time we get to them, we already kind of know them. Ma bein tam lemuad. What's the difference between a shor tam and a shor muad, which we talked about before, isn't necessarily listing all the differences because we know there's more differences than this. Ela shatam shalem chatzi nezek migufo, umuad mishalem nezek shalem mina aliyah. So the tam is mishalem chatzi nezek, and we take it from the animal that was damaged, right? So we take it, we give him the dead animal, and from there we take the damages. And the mu'ad is mishalem nezek shalem mina aliyah. So we'll explain in a minute what aliyah is. The Gemara asks immediately, my aliyah? Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'me'uleh shebenechasav. So you can't just give him the dead animal, he has to give him good, something that's, you know, valuable property or valuable, right? It could be metalzin, it could be karka, something of value. V'chein hu omer, how do we know, now we're going to get off on a whole tangent, how do we know that that aliyah means mi'uleh shebenechasav, right? Aliyah often means usually when we talk about the aliyah in the Gemara, we mean the roof, right? The attic. It was not the roof, the attic, right? There were two floors. Have you ever been to Katrin, right? There's two floors in all their buildings or a lot of their houses. The aliyah is the upper part. That was, we saw the stories where they put the ladder up, going up to the roof, and then they, the second floor, and then they move the ladder away with the women so that they wouldn't, the Rapunzel type story. So no one would get to the women. Okay. My aliyah, Amar Rabbi Elazar, mu'uleh shebenechasav, v'cheinu omer, and here's our proof. Vayishkav Chizkiyahu im avotav, vayikberuhu b'ma'ale kivrei b'nei David. So what does it mean, ma'ale kivrei? Okay, so Chizkiyahu dies. He was one of the good kings, if you recall. And they buried him in the kever of the b'nei David. V'hamar Rabbi Elazar, what does it mean, b'ma'ale? Etzel me'ulim sheba mishpacha. U'ma'aninu Davidu Shlomo. In other words, they put him up with the best. If you recall, his father wasn't a good king. So the idea was that they didn't want to bury him. His father got buried in this very unpleasant way. And they wanted to be buried. They wanted to bury him in a good place. Because he was a good king. Okay, this pasuk is about Asa. Okay, right? I believe this is a pasuk about Asa. Yeah, so this is about a different king now. They buried him in the burial place that they dug Be'ir David, okay? And then they filled it with Bisamim and Zanim. So now they want to know, my Bisamim Bizanim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Zene Zene. Zene Zene means different types. A Zan is a what's the word?
Strain.
Yeah, strain, thank you. So it's different strains of Bisamim. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Bisamim Shekolam Ariach Behem Bali De Zima. They were the type of Bisamim that caused people, they were such a beautiful smell that it caused people to go and do inappropriate things. Okay. Ki Karu Shochet Lilachdeni Upachim Tamnu Liraglai. Okay, now we're getting into other psukim. This is a pasuk from Yirmiyahu about what the people did to him. If you remember, Yirmiyahu was put in jail by the people. They didn't like the prophecies he was saying. So it says, Karu shucha lelachdeni. They dug a shucha, which is a pit, to trap me up. Upachim tamnu liraglai. And they put like a pach. What's the word? Like a pail. Like a, what does it say?
It says snares.
Snares. Okay, traps. They hid in order to trap me up. So now the question is, and now you'll see how we got to hear from the other pasuk, what was the issue? In other words, how did they trap him up, basically? Rabbi Elazar Amar Shechashduhu Mizona. They claimed he was with his zona. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Shechashduhu Me'eshetish. They claimed he slept with a married woman. So Bishlam Alamanda Amar Shechashduhu Mizona. Hainu Dichtiv. Okay, where can we get from the pasuk that he was suspected of being with a zona? Because it says, Kishucha muka zona. Okay, that a zona is like going into a deep pit, right? If you start with a zona, it's like digging yourself, down into a deep pit. And what was the word, right? So here, shucha goes with zona. And what was the pasuk with Yirmiyahu? That he karushu, that they dug a shucha lelachdeni. Ela, lamanda amar shachashdu me'eshetish, my shucha. Like, what is shucha? Where do we see shucha in connection with an eshetish? So what did they answer? Atu eshet ish mi nafka michlal zona. In other words, an Eshet Ish is much worse than a Zonah. So if a Zonah is digging a pit for yourself, obviously an Eshet Ish is also. Just because the Pasuk only says it by a Zonah, it means obviously you can learn from there, they're also Eshet Ish. So now they're going to say, well, then Bishlama Lamanda Marsha Chashtuma Eshet Ish. Then now we actually are going to flip it and say, actually, it makes a lot more sense to say the Chashtuma Eshet Ish. Why? Hainu Dichtiv, okay, here's another Pasuk by Yirmiyahu. Va'ata Hashem Yadata et Kol Atzatam Alai Lamavet. Yirmiyahu says to God, you know why they're plotting against me to kill me. Now, if they're planning to kill me, why are they killing me? Because I slept with an Eshet Ish, and then you're deserving of death. But if you sleep with a Zonah, who's not an Eshet Ish, right? It's a woman who sleeps around with other people, but she's not an Eshet Ish, you don't get killed for that. So, El Amanda Marsh Hashtumi Zonah, my Lamavet. So they say, it doesn't really mean Mavet, it means Shishlichu Lebe'ertit. It means that they wanted to throw him into a pit, but, you know, it was similar to death. It wasn't like they were actually trying to kill him. Darash Rava, my dichtiv, you mukshalim lefanecha be'et apcha, be'et apcha aseh bahem. Okay, the end of that pasuk says, so the whole pasuk reads like this. Vata Hashem, if you're in the Torah, or it has it there, it's Od Vav, and it's from Yirmiyahu, Yudchet, Kaf Gimel. Vata Hashem yadata et kol atatam alai lamavet. Al techaper al avonam v'chatatam milfanecha. Okay, don't forgive their sins. Al temchi v'yu mukshalim. Okay, don't erase it. V'yu mukshalim lefanecha be'et apcha aseh bahem. In other words, right, they should have a mikshol before them, and you should trap them up after what they did to me. And when you're angry, get them back, basically. So, how do they darshan in this pasuk? Amar Yirmiyahu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, afilu b'sha'a she'osim tzedaka, hechshilam b'bnei adam she'enam mehuganim, kedei she'lo yikablu aleihem sachar. So here they say, when they're doing tzedaka, that's dafka when you should trip them up, so that they won't get sachar for what they're doing. In other words, what are they saying here? That they should do tzedaka. This is a very interesting thing. They should give tzedaka to people who are unworthy. In other words, that when they're going to go to do their mitzvah of tzedaka, they should give it to unworthy people, and then they won't get sachar for it. Okay, so the Mefarshim say, what do you mean you don't get sachar for giving tzedaka to unworthy people? So they say that there's a difference in level. If you give tzedakah to someone who's worthy, right, this is very interesting in terms of, you know, all these random people come and you don't know, are they worthy or are they not worthy? So according to this, the Mefarshim explained that you get sachar for it, but it's not the sachar that's going to save you from something really big. So if these people are deserving of death, you know, and for what they did for Yirmiyahu, or they're deserving of, you know, not getting Olam Haba or whatever it might be, so this protection of having tzedakah is not going to protect them from, you know, getting really from God's anger, right? There's levels. If you do high-level tzedakah, well, then that would protect you. But if you do lower-level tzedakah, meaning helping someone who's not worthy, then it won't protect you.
This notes the difference being whether you know it or not, because your intentions are good in any case.
So what do you mean?
If you know that the person is not deserving, then you don't get credit. But if you don't know
if you that, didn't know that they weren't deserving, then you get credit just as you would. Yes. Interesting. Okay. That's the end of that drasha. How we got to all this stuff and what this has to do with things, it's a good question. I didn't really have much time to think about it. I'm trying to think right now. It's a little bit about responsibility for your actions, maybe, but yeah, what do you want to say, Ani?
Like the whole concept of what is Aliyah.
Right. No, I understand how we got it right. But the question is, what does it have to do in general with what we're learning? Right, in terms of... we got sidetracked from the whole Aliyah thing. That's how we started. But then we got into Kvarim and people dying and, you know, then we I guess because the Pasuk had... Right, we started with the Pasuk about the Ma'aleh. We went to the... Vayikberu, Bikibrotav Asher Karalo, and then this other pasuk is Ki Karu. I think they connected with the, you know, with the words, but you know, I don't know exactly what this has to do. I mean, the truth is, it's talking about a michshol and things like that, right? Tripping up other people, which is, you know, what we've been learning about. Anyway, something to think about. Okay, we're going to continue a little more still. Ukvod Asulo Bimoto. Okay, now we're back to Chizkiyahu. When Chizkiyahu died, This is back to that pasuk. Vayishkav Chizkiyahu im avotav yikbru b'maale kivro beit David. Then the pasuk continues. Or the next pasuk is Ukchavod asulo bimoto kol Yehuda v'yoshvei Yerushalayim v'yimloch Menashe b'no tachtav. So what is this kavod he got at his death? Melamed shehoshivu yeshiva al kivro. Okay, they had a whole, all the Tamidim sat there to learn Torah on his kever. Plihi bar Rabbi Natan v'Rabbanan. So now there's a machloket how many days they sat on his kever. Chad amar shlosha v'chad amar shiva v'amre la shloshim. Okay, one said 3 days, one said 7 days, and some people say, and it's unclear, instead of the three or instead of the seven. Okay, probably instead of the three. I'll tell you why in a second. And the other opinion said shloshim. In other words, some people say that one of those guys said shloshim, 30 days. These are obviously days of Avelut that connect to our Shiva Yime Avelut, the shloshim. Even the first 3 days of Avelut are considered a little bit different than the second part of Shiva. What? Right, exactly. Tanu Rabbanan, Ukvod Asulo Bimoto, Zech Hizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Sheyatzu Lefanav 36,000 Chalutzei Katef, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now what was special about him? What's the kavod they did? The 36,000 Chalutzei Katef. Okay, went out before him. What does it mean, chalutzei katef? So the Mefreshim explained that Rashi says that they tore their clothes, 36,000 people tore kriya for him, and exposed their shoulders. Okay, and that's their, right, it's a little different than our kriya, right? They pull down their cloak kind of over their shoulder and expose their shoulder, and that's what it says. So Amar le'Rav Nechemya, but what do you mean? This was the whole idea here being is that he had some kavod that no one else was zocha to. So now Rav Nechemya comes and says, "Halo lefnei Achav asuken." Achav also had that. These 36,000. Now the assumption is with Achav, he died in the battle, if you remember, and there were all the soldiers there, right? And they were all sad that he had died. So they say, "Oh, it must have been something else. It wasn't just that there were all these soldiers there that mourned him." Because that happened with Achav also, and he was obviously not a good king, and it wasn't, you know, wasn't considered this big kavod. Ela shinichu sefer Torah mitato. They put a sefer Torah on his bed, on his deathbed, va'amru kiyem ze mashkatu bezeh. He fulfilled what it says here. So now, again, what does this mean? We have to remember. Kavod asulo b'mitato, the assumption is we're talking about something that nobody else was deserving of. It's some unique kavod that he got. So now they say, and this is just interesting in terms of what went on in those days, v'ha'idna, but nowadays comes the Gemara and says in their generation, nami avdinan hachi. People do that nowadays. They put a sefer Torah on someone's deathbed, which is very interesting. Okay, and according to this, and they say, kiyem ze mashkatu bezeh. Okay, now it's not 100% clear yet what the minhag is that they do in their day, but they're saying, if this happened in the time of Chizkiyahu, we see that people still do this today, in which case, it's not something that was unique for Chizkiyahu.
Unless it was the first time you lived in.
Yafeh. So you could very easily answer that when the Pasuk says it, obviously the Pasuk wasn't written in the time of the Gemara, and they meant that was something unique that they did to him, but maybe later people adopted that. But that's not the Gemara's approach. The Gemara wants to have this idea that he had something unique happen to him that never happened and never will happen to anybody else, okay? Why they insist on saying that, I don't know, but they're going to have to prove that right now. So what do they say? Afuke mafkinan anuche lo manchinan. Nowadays, we take out a Sefer Torah, but we don't actually put it on the deathbed itself. Amar Rabba Barbachana, Hava Azlina, oh sorry, I skipped. V'i Bayit Ema, some people say, Anuchi Nami Manchinam. We actually, now what's interesting is here they're having a machloket about what actually goes on. Okay? Do they not, right, in their own tradition, right? They don't even know. So now they say, because it could be the people talking now are talking about knowing that some minhag existed, but they don't exactly know how the minhag went. So Anuchi Nami Manchinam, we actually do put it down. But kiyem lo amrina. But we don't say kiyem ze mashkatu bezeh. Okay, so the assumption right now is they were miniach, and they said these words kiyem ze mashkatu bezeh. So now we're going to say either they're not even miniach, or they're miniach, but they don't say kiyem ze. Amar Rabbi Chana, hava azlina b'hadid Rabbi Yochanan l'mishal shmata. I was going after Rabbi Yochanan to ask him a question. Ki ava'ah lebeit hakise, he was on his way into the bathroom. B'hava b'ina minei milta, and I asked him something. Lo pashi lam, but he wouldn't answer me. Adem asha yadei umanach tefilin umivarech. Okay, until he went and washed his hands, put his tefillin on, and then made the bracha. I assume they mean the bracha of Asher Yatzar. Okay, now, maybe the bracha and the tefillin. What's the issue here about the tefillin? So in those days, they wore tefillin all the time. So he took it off to go to the bathroom, because you can't go into the bathroom with the tefillin, and then he would put it back on. V'hadar amralan, and then he said to me, afilu kiyem amrinan, even nowadays we do say kiyem, but, by the way, they didn't just say kiyem to Chizkiyahu, what did they also say? Limeid, he taught. He taught others. It wasn't just that he was Mekayim the Torah, it was also that he taught others. V'ha'amar, which is interesting, by the way, in terms of Sefer Melachim, like part of the issue, let's say, with Yoshiyahu, right, who was also one of the good kings near the end, but Yoshiyahu wasn't successful because one of the things they say about him was he wasn't able to pass on to the people. He was a great leader, but what does it mean to be a great leader if you can't affect, you know, he himself, let's say, put it this way, not that he was a great leader, he himself was a very religious person and did all this reformation, but it wasn't able to filter down to the people. So maybe they're saying that was unique about Chizkiyahu, that he was able to teach the people.
He united the people in a way that, right?
Who did?
Chizkiyahu.
Right, right. They all did the Pesach. Yeah, right. There was a big Pesach that they did in his time.
That none of the other kings
were able to unite the people. Right. So he was able to. So he had this ketzav. He was limed. So now they say, "Vaha marmar gadol limud Torah shalimud mevi lidei maaseh." Don't we say that? Right. What's more important, limud or maaseh? Here you're saying limed is a higher level than kiyem, but shouldn't it be right? If the whole idea of learning is to get to maaseh. Right? In other words, this is the whole debate, right? Those people who learn who aren't doing, is that a problem, right? In other words, what's greater, learning or kiyum? Clearly, kiyum mitzvot is more important. So how could you say that we say by everybody else kiyum, and we say by him limeid? However, there's a big difference here. Lo kasha, hala migmar, hala agmure. When it comes to, right, if you want to do a hierarchy, it's like this. There's lomeid, which is to learn. Then that's what's more important than that, kiyem, because then you're mekayim mitzvah. But what's the higher level? The highest level, limeid, to teach. Right? They're kind of mixing lamad and limeid, which is strange. They're mixing them, but in the end, they say, well, that's the difference. Okay, so he was so great because he was able to teach, which is a higher level. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, my dichtiv ashrechem zorei al kol mayim shachei regel hashor v'hachamor. Okay, what's the meaning of this pasuk? It's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Kol ha'osek b'torah b'gluch chasadim zocheh l'nachalat shnei shvatim. Okay, so how do we darshan this pasuk? We say, the beginning part of the pasuk, Ashrecham zor'eh al kol ma'im, okay, means that you're learning Torah and doing g'miluch chasadim, okay, which is combining these two things about kind of kiyem here. Now they're talking about kiyem. They're kind of taking it to a different place of kiyem masim tovim, really, gemiluch chasadim, and the lamad of limud Torah. So those are two things that you get to be mishalche regel ashor v'chamor. What's the shor v'chamor? They're rimazim to two shvatim. Okay, we're going to see which shvatim in a minute. So how do you darsh? In this shenemar, ashrechem zor'ei ve'ein zriya elatztaka. Shenemar, zir'u lachem litztaka. Zir'u, right, is to sow the seeds. There's a pasuk that says, Zeru lachem litzdaka, v'kitzru lefi chesed. Okay, so that pasuk is coming to teach you, it's a pasuk from Moshea, that zera goes together with tzedaka. So when it says, Ashrechem zor'ei, it means, zor'ei al kol mayim, the zor'ei is tzedaka, and mayim, e mayim el ha-Torah, shenemar, hoi kol tzameh, lechu lemayim. Right, anyone who's thirsty, go to water, which is a reference to Torah. So there you have tzedaka and Torah. And then zochel nachalat shnei shvatim, zochel lechila ki Yosef, dechti ben parat Yosef benot zada ale shor. That's the shore. The references to Yosef. It's in the brachot of Yaakov. And what's a chila? There's a few different interpretations. One is a chila is that bed that they would carry out the kala on. It's called an apirion. They would carry out the kala on it, and that it means that he was zochel kavod, because only people who are mechuvad get carried on that kind of chair. Or also just that everybody loved him, that he was beloved by people, which has a different etymology. V'zochen alachalat yisachar dechtiv yisachar chamor gorem. Okay, which means that he was, right, connects yisachar to the chamor, and they explain that he was very wealthy, and that they would get wealth like yisachar. Okay? Ita amre oiva. Okay, now that's one way of reading what the sachar is. Either it's this kila, which is kind of like chen and kavod, or and like Yisachar, which is wealth. Ita Amre, some people say no. Oivav noflim lefanav ki Yosef. Dichtiv. This is from Dvarim in Bezod Abracha. What does it say when Moshe gives the blessings instead of Yaakov? Now we're switching to Moshe. Bahem amim yinagach yachdav afse aretz. Okay, the people, right, with him, he'll fight the nations, basically. So you'll oivav noflim lefanav. V'zochel lebina ki Yisachar. And here they quote, interestingly, a pasuk from Divrei Hayamim. Right, you would have thought they'd either quote from Bereishit, the brachot of Yaakov, or Dvarim, the brachot of Moshe. But instead, they quote, ubimnei Yisachar yodei bina le'itim lada ma yaseh Yisrael. They were yodei bina. They understood what's bina. Lavin davar mitoch davar. They can understand, right? They can derive things. It's a higher level of knowledge. So some people say they're talking about your enemies and knowledge rather than the chen and the chesed and the wealth. Okay?
It's interesting that they bring in the verb yigach.
There you have it, yafeh. Okay, so the chapter ends, I like that, with this yinagach, again, the connection of the ki gach.
I was also thinking, the mission opens with the difference between a tam and a mu'ah. A tam, you have to do something three times in order to become a mu'ah. And it's sort of like this whole chain
of how to get to things. There has to be a progression.
Also, the gach before was all about yafeh. Habitual behavior or non-habitual behavior.
Interesting.
You know, the why and the soul.
So you're saying that we want to turn, as opposed to the habitual behaviors that are negative, here are the habitual behaviors that
we're
are positive.
About yafeh. And then how to change it from a tongue to,
right.
You know, like the progression of
yafeh. You know, it's also possible, I'm going to suggest another thing, that we're in this Masechet, we've now kind of left the world of Torah, so to speak, right? We're now, as opposed to Moed and Nashim, which all have uniquely Jewish aspects to it, right? Moed is all the chagim, which are unique to the Jews. Kiddushin and Gittin, we talked about, right? That whole thing, Yibum, all of those are unique laws to the Jewish people. You can't judge them in other courts. You can't, right? No one else can do that. Whereas Dinei Mamonot is totally different. It's very universal. And there's not, obviously, there's Jewish content in the sense that we have our own set of values that determine our laws. But God doesn't appear too much in this whole thing. And maybe the end of the first parak, they want to kind of bring Torah back in and like sort of give perspective and remind us where we are. It's possible. You know, particularly as we started, it was okay, this Ulesha B'Kvarot, but we end with this Torah, Yimilich HaSadim, which almost reminds us of the way often the Masechtot end, right? We have this end thing about learning Torah and the importance of the Talmud Yechachamim, and it's almost like that's how they're ending this first parak. Okay, Hadron Alach Arba'a Avot. Now moving on to the second parak, which is really a continuation of the first. There's not so much difference here. We're going to deal a lot today with Sroro. If you remember, this whole din of a behema kicks pebbles. The pebbles cause damage. And that we said is a halach l'moshe mi-Sinai, that you pay chatzi nezek for that kind of a thing, and not nezek shalem. Okay? Oh, by the way, before I read this Mishnah, I want to remind you that the Mishnah before this one was a very complicated Mishnah. We had a few Mishnayot that we really struggled with understanding the Pshat. It's going to continue. Okay, so the next few Mishnayot are also very incomprehensible, some parts of them. Okay, the first line already is problematic. Ketzad ha-regel mu'edet. So how is a regel mu'ad? In what case is regel mu'ad? And then we're going to get to ketzad ha-shem mu'edet. Lishbor b'derech hilucha, okay, to break things as it's walking. Habehema mu'edet lahalech kedarkau lishaber. The behema is mu'ad to walk in, right, as it's walking on its way and it breaks. Now that second line seems to be exactly like the first line, right? You follow? We just said, how is the rega mu'edet, which we assume we're talking about a behema, and we said it's to break things derech hilucha. And then we say the behema is mu'edet to walk in its way and break things. Okay, so again, it seems like it's saying the same thing. The Gemara is going to immediately ask that. Haytama va'etet, if it was kicking, o shayut shrorot menadzim mitachat ragleha, or there were pebbles underneath its raglaim, v'shavrat hakelim, and whatever it kicked broke other things, mishalem chatzi nezek. That's our din of shrorot. Darsa ala kli v'shibarto, if it stepped on trampled on a kli and broke it, v'nafal al kli v'shibro. This is also a really strange line, okay? Because we'll see in a second why it's very atypical of a Mishnah. So if he tramples on a kli and breaks it, or he falls onto a kli, let's say the animal trips and falls onto a kli and breaks it. So al harishon mishalem nezek shalem, va'al acharon mishalem chatzi nezek. Right? Normally, if there's two cases with different laws, how does the Mishnah list them? this case is patur. This case is chayav, right? In this case, it should say the first case. It would say give the case. It would say darsa lakli mishalem nezek shalem, right? Veshavarto mishalem nezek shalem v'nafal lakli v'shibro mishalem chatzin nezek. But instead, it ordered it as this one line, as if these two things are the same. And then, by the way, on the first one, he's chayav nezek shalem, and the second one, he's chayav chatzin nezek. Because again,
sense.
It's atypical.
But it makes sense because the first one he actively fell off. The second one.
Okay, you missed what I'm saying. What I want to point out is it makes total sense the law, right? If he walks on it, right? If he walks on it and tramples on it and breaks it, right? So obviously it's going to be chayav nezek shalem.
Yes.
If he falls, then he's chayav half damages. That makes sense. But why would you list it as if he walks or if he falls? On the first one, he's chayav full. On the second one, he's chayav half. Generally, the Mishnah would say, if he walks and he breaks it, he's chayav nezek shalem. If he falls, then he's chayav half damages. What do you want to say?
The way the Mishnah explains it is that he fell on the first kli, and a piece of the first kli broke the second kli. That's what the Mishnah is.
Oh,
saying.
I see. You're right. Dersala kli v'shibarto v'nafala lakli. I see.
So the first kli broke the second kli.
Okay, fine. So then I'll have shown. So on the kli, he's high at full damages. And then on the second kli, I see. He broke a different kli. He broke two kalim. So I misunderstood the Mishnah.
Yeah, fair. Because a piece of the first kalim.
Okay, I see. Okay, so I misunderstood it then. Okay, thank you for correcting me.
Right, yeah.
A kli arishon, that's what it means. I was thinking on the case, the first case. Okay, fine. So let's review. Okay, so now let's read it again. If he steps on a kli and breaks it, and then he falls on the kli that he broke and then breaks another kli, so on the first kli that he stepped on, he's chayav full damages. Thank you. On the last kli, he's chayav partial damages because it was the kli that caused the damage. Okay. Sorry, nafala kli then isn't the animal fell, it's the kli fell on another kli. That's what it means. Okay, so I totally misunderstood it. Okay. Hatarnigolim muadim lahalech kidarkanu l'shaber. Okay, now we're getting into other things. We were talking about behema, now we're getting into birds category, which here we're talking about a tarnigol, a rooster. A rooster can walk in its way, right, and break things, and then it's regular mu'ad. We can expect that will happen, and therefore, again, remember the whole thing. Since we can expect it can happen in Rashut Arabim, you're patur, but in Rashut Anisak, you're going to be chayav. Hayad delil kashur beraglav, if he had a string around its regel, okay, which I saw some of Freshim explain that they would tie strings to identify them. Okay, it wasn't just random, or maybe it was, but that's one interpretation. Osha hayam mahadesu mishaber et hakelim, or it was like dancing around and caused kelim to break. Mishalem chatzin nezek. Those cases were not mu'ad. These are shrovot. Okay, and then the case about the dancing seems a little weird. Rashi explains that when he's dancing, the meaning is, and we'll get to this in the Gemara. The meaning is he's dancing and he knocks pebbles, and the pebbles break. Because if he's really dancing, then it's regel, right? In other words, if his regel breaks it, it's a typical regel. Amale Ravina l'Rava. So now the Gemara is going to immediately question the first line. Hainu regel, hainu behema. These first two lines say the exact same thing. Ketzad, right? Ha regel. Ketzad ha regel mu'edet l'shaber b'derach hiluchah. And then ha behema mu'edet la'alech b'derach ha'l'shaber. It sounds like the same thing. So Amale. So now remember who's asking who. Ravina asks Rava a question. Rava answers. Tana avot bekatani toladot. Okay, first there's the av malacha, which is that it's l'shaber b'derach hilucha, and then it talks about the toladav that, which is that it can do it bigufa or b'sara. Then it goes into the details, right? Haytama ve'etet osha yisro. Sorry, the part about 1 second. Right, so the toladot, it then goes into the details that, oops, 1 second. Details here are, right, so then it's basically saying, so it's mu'edet l'shaber b'derach hilucha, And then the behemamu edet la'alech kedarkah u'lishaber means that it's giving you these examples, which it doesn't explain them right here, but that it means that if it's walking in its way and things on the body of the animal start knocking things off, which we're going to see in a braita in a few, very soon, about all these ways that an animal can do it, then that's a tolada. In other words, walking and its feet is one thing, but lahalech kedarkah u'lishaber means if it's walking on its way and it knocks things to the, from the sides or parts of the animal knock things, but not the regel, those are the toladot. So it starts with the avot, which is l'shaber b'derech hiluchar, right? And then it goes into, even though it's not exactly, it doesn't exactly fit the words, but habeimah mu'edet lahalech kedarkah u'lishaber means while it's walking, other things that can happen as it damages with its body are going to be considered toladot. So then they say, so comes, that was Rava's answer to Ravina. So Ravina answers back, ela me'ata, but according to what you're saying, the next Mishnah, Seifa, dekatane, okay, on Yud-Ted Amubed it says, okay, skip for a second to Yud-Ted Amubed because it doesn't quote the whole Mishnah, so you really want to see the whole Mishnah inside. If you're going to answer that answer of avot toladot, look at the next Mishnah. Ketzad Hashem Mu'edet, how is Shein Mu'edet, the same exact parallel, le'echolat hara'oila, okay, to eat what it normally eats, right? Habehema Mu'edet le'echol perot v'yirakot. Well, perot v'yirakot or ra'oila, right? So here it has the exact same thing, but you can't say it's avot and toladot because it really is the exact same thing. So he's going to say, basically saying, that's a very good answer for this Mishnah, but it doesn't help us with the next Mishnah. So my avot umay toladot ika in that Mishnah. So now, Rava, who answered the question in the first place, and Ravina now questions him, answers Rava back like this. Hava kamahadra le b'bdichuta. So Rava answers Ravina in a joking kind of way. Va'amarle, and he says to him, ana shnei chada, va'at shnei chada. I answered the first one, you answer the second one. As I came up with a good answer for the first one. You can come up with a good answer for the second Mishnah. Okay. Interestingly enough, Ravina doesn't come up with an answer. But the Gemara tells us that later generation, Tamamai, what is the reason? Amar of Ashi, you should remember last generation Amora, he says, Tana Shein de Chaya, Bekatane Shein de Behema. Remember, what's the second line? It says, Ha Behema Mu'edet, Lecholata Peropi Yirako. So when it says Behema, it means that the first sentence is not Behema. So the first sentence is Chaya. And the second sentence is Behema. So when it comes to our Mishnah, we have Avot and Toladot. When it comes to the second Mishnah, we have Chaya and then Behema. Even though it doesn't say Chaya, it's implied that if you're talking about Behema in the second line, the first line must be talking about Chaya. So now they're going to say, why do you need Behema and Chaya? Desalkadata Chamina from the Pasuk, remember that Pasuk that talked about Shein and Regal? Vishalachet Be'iro Be'er B'steacher. Now, what's bi'iro? Bi'iro, the translation is behemto. So if the translation is behemto, the pasuk is only about behema. So k'tiv behema, and therefore, right? V'shilach bi'iro k'tiv, that's what it says in the pasuk. So you would infer from there, behema in, chaya lo, kamash malan de chaya b'chlal behema. So that Mishnah comes to tell you that there's a chaya first, and then a behema. Now, it's strange. If the Mishnah is really trying to tell you that, it should have specified Hachaya, right? It seems a little weird, but that's how they understand the Mishnah. Ihachi hamibayle lemitne bereisha. Hi. The bereisha. If that's the case, then how would you have done your Mishnah? If the main pasuk is about the Behema, so you put the Behema first, and then you put the Chaya second to include and say, the Chaya is part of the Behema. So what's the answer? We've seen this before, which is the one that's learned out through a drasha, they want to always say first, because it's more chaviv. Anything that we learn on our own is more special to us than something that says explicitly in the Torah. So they're going to start with the chaya, and then move into the behema. So then they say, Hachi reishanami, litnei deloktiva bereisha. In other words, again, why don't you start with toladot and then move to avot? Why would you start with the main thing, right? If our whole idea is the main thing we're not starting with, right? The toladot are learned out midrasha. So why don't you start with the toladot? Because it's atale midrasha. Hachi hashi, you're going to compare these two? Hatam idi v'idi avot ninu. Hachta atale midrasha chavivale. Hacha shavik avetane tolada. When it comes to the chaya and the behema, we're talking both about the av melachav shein, about the eating the food. So when you're talking about avot, we can start putting the one midrasha first. But when you're talking about avot and toledot, it doesn't make sense to put toledot before avot when toledot are learned out from avot. Again, you can argue this a little bit. That's one answer. Ibaidam, another answer is, I did the salak mi regel, patach be regel. Since the last Mishnah had to do with regel, okay, where's that? It's not actually the last one. It's, right, it's the one... Mishatamim chamisham muadim, is it that one? Right. Haregel mu'ed l'shbor b'derech hilucha b'shor mu'ad. Right. So because it was talking about regel at the end of the previous parak, so it's starting now here with regel. Which, by the way, there's all these people who like to learn the Mishnah in a literary manner nowadays. It's become very popular. You can see all these rimazim in the Gemara all the time about saying, oh, well, why are they starting with this? Because it connects with the last Mishnah. Sometimes they even do it between mesechto. And they say, oh, where's this coming from? Oh, it connects with the last Masechet. So even the Gemara itself assumed that there was some sort of a literary thing going on with the Mishnayot. Okay, so that's another possible reason. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to get into all sorts of Braitot which talk about the details of this Chatzi Nezek Tsroa. And we're going to learn something interesting that while we learned that it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, the Chatzi Nezek Tsroa, the Tsroa is Chatzi Nezek, right? If you kick pebbles and the pebbles damage, you're Chayav Chatzi Nezek. We're going to learn in a minute that there's an opinion of Sumchus, which thinks that Tsroa is Nezek Shalem. And according to him, you would have to assume that he holds that there is no Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which is very interesting, because generally, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we don't really have machlokot about. Usually it's passed down, it's a pretty serious thing, and everyone kind of agrees to it. And here it's a very interesting Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, where there's actually machlokot about whether there is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai about this, whether there's some tradition, the Tsroa is pays Chatzi Nezek, or... You know, maybe there is no tradition, and Sumchus thinks you pay full damages for it because you cause your animal to knock something, right? You, and it's your animal caused something to knock over, that caused something else, and you're responsible. You caused the damage, basically, you know, your animal.
So, can I ask yeah. About Nezikin?
Yeah.
We ended up, the first Mishnah says, mentions only Shor as an Av, and Shen and Regel are kind of separate, are Todot.
No, so the first Mishnah, okay, so. We had a whole thing there about how do we understand shor. There was one interpretation that shor means Karen, Nezek, Karen, Regel, and Shane, meaning that they're all avot. Everyone thinks that they're all avot. It's just a question of what word do they belong to. Do they belong to shor, and shor meant everything, or is Karen not mentioned at all for some reason, even though it also is an av, but it's mentioned, you know, it's referenced by the Meitav Sadeh, if you remember there was that extra line, we said that comes to include the shor, the Karen. Shor means regel, mav'e means shame, if you remember.
Right.
So they're definitely avot. It's just a question of from which word do we derive them from as an av.
Okay.
But they're definitely avot. Okay? Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Behema mu'edet lahalech kedarka u'lishaber. Ketzad. So how is this behema mu'edet lahalech kedarka u'lishaber? And these are the toledot, basically. Okay, so when we mentioned that there were toledot in the Mishnah, they didn't really appear in the Mishnah, but they appear in a braita explaining that line. That line is basically a key into understanding all the toledot. And here we see it from the braita. So if you didn't understand before, where are the toledot in the Mishnah? Well, here's where they are. They're in that line, and that line means... all the stuff that the Braita is going to say it means. Ketzad. Behema shenichnesa l'chatzar nizak ve'ezika bigufa. Right now we're already not talking about, this is why it's a toleda. We're not talking about that he trampled on something. We're saying that its body knocked something. Derech hilucha, right? As it was walking, the body knocked into something. U'besa'ara derech hilucha, right? Its hairs could have caught on something and ripped something. Be'ukaf she'aleha, okay, with the saddle on it. Bishlif she'aleha, okay, I forgot the translation of a shlif. It's a masoi, right? A burden that was on it, like it was carrying something. Ubeprumbia shebefia, okay, which is like a, what's the English word they use for it? What? A bit that's in its mouth. Ubezug shebetzavara, a bell that's on its neck. Vichamor bemasao, okay, or a donkey with its, what it's carrying, its load. Mishalem nezek shalem. All these cases, Yochai and Nezek Shalem, these are all toledot of regel. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus now talks, all of a sudden he shifts gears, which really the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean you just shift gears? But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. Tsroro, okay, if you're talking about Tsroro, where it kicks pebbles and the pebbles damage, v'chazir shahayano ver ba'ashpa v'yizik, or a pig that was going in the garbage and damaged, okay, while it was rumbling through the garbage, which we're going to see exactly what this case is in a few minutes. Mishalem nezek shalem. Okay? So those, according to Sumchus, right, Sro wrote nezek shalem, as I told you. So first the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hizik pshita. Ela'ema, in other words, what do you mean? Sumchus says, a chazir that was nover b'ashpa v'hizik, if he damages as he's doing it with his body, well, obviously he's chayv nezek shalem. What is Sumchus teaching us here? Ela'ema, he tiz v'hizik, mishalem nezek shalem. Okay, so what are we saying? It's also a case of tsroro, where if he's going in the garbage, he's burrowing through the garbage, that pig, what happens? He knocks things over, right? Things start popping out of the garbage, and then they damage. That must be what he meant, because if he's talking about the chazir, while he's in the garbage, damages, as he knocks into something, well, that's obviously, that's like all the other toledot we mentioned before. So there's no chidush. So it must be that Sulchus is talking about tsroro. Now, what's interesting is, if he is talking about tsroro, why would you need to say tsroro and a chazir who's in the ashpa? Doesn't make so much sense, a bit of a weakness here. But we're going to see that lots of details are brought about Sroroth in all different places, different Breitot, okay? Now, maybe you can compare between Breitot and within a Breitot. Here, we're within a Breitot, and it doesn't make so much sense that there's two separate ones. Now, we're going to see that this din about Sroroth is mentioned in all different contexts and different Breitot. The Gemara never questions, why is it bringing it up here, and why is it bringing it up there, and why is it bringing it up there? Presumably because as long as they're different Breitot, so different people taught different things. You know, they taught the din of Sroroth in a different way. It doesn't mean necessarily that you needed to have taught them all.
Are they bringing these different cases because of the Tzroro go from different Rishut, like from Rishut HaYachet to Rishut HaRabim or from Rishut HaRabim?
Right. I don't think so. I don't think that that's another. That you're assuming the Ashpa. The Ashpa could be in somebody's private property.
Right.
Regular, you're only Chayiv in Rishut HaYachet anyway.
And then the Tzroro can fly as he's doing it. Can fly
right. They
out.
Can go into Rishut HaRabim. Right. The question is, what's your responsibility if Tzroro in a different Rishut? Are you only Chayiv in Rishut HaNizak or are you Chayiv otherwise? It's a good question. I mean, if it comes from Regal, I would assume you'd only be Chayiv in Rishut HaNizak.
Yeah,
but it's a good question. We have to look that up.
What Sumchus is doing.
Right. Somebody remind me later. Okay.
Is there a reason they use chazir as...
Right. I don't know why they use specifically a chazir here. I mean, I assume they're talking about rumbling through the garbage, and that would be a chazir rumble through the garbage. But why they Dafka picked a case of rumbling through the garbage is also a good question. So it could be that there's a different pshat to this Mishnah other than the one that the Gemara takes as their approach. The Gemara just assumes there's a case of tsroot. So now the Gemara says, Tsroa mandachar shmayu. Where all of a sudden did Sumchus come and start talking about Tsroa? We were talking about Rega. So what do they say? Chisur machasra v'hachi katane. Really, it's missing words. After the whole list of toldo, what does it then say? Tsroa kirochayu chati nezek. When Tsroa happened, right, as the animal's walking kidurko, and he knocks Tsroa, right, then your chayv, instead of nezek shalem, your chayv chati nezek. Which makes me assume that the tsroro is really you're only going to be responsible in Rishut HaNizak, because if it's coming out of regal, it would make more sense to say it's only Rishut HaNizak. B'chazir shayan over ba'ashpa v'hitiz v'hizik, mishalem chati nezek. Okay, then you're mishalem chati nezek. Sumchus omer, and then Sumchus is now coming to say, oh, well, since you brought up the issue of tsroro, so I'm going to disagree. Tsroro v'chazir shayano verbash pabi tiz v'zik mishalem nezek shalem. Okay, so now, like I said, we're going to have all different brachot that give different cases of tsroro. Tana rabbanan tarnigolim shayu mafrichim makom lemakom. Birds are flying from place to place, or roosters are flying somehow. V'shavru kelim bekan fehem. Okay, maybe it's just kind of hopping, and its wings cause damage. So that's part of its gufo, and therefore mishalem nezek shalem. But beruach shebekam fehem mishalim chatzin nezek. Now here you see it's different than tsroro. Tsroro is an actual object. Here we're learning the even wind that causes damage. If the wind is coming from the wings, then you're chayev chatzin nezek. Sumchus omer nezek shalem and kishi tato, right? Sumchus says you're chayev full damages. Tanya idak, here's another brayta. Tarnagolim shayu mahadzin al gabei issa. They were dancing around on top of a dough. Valgabe peirot v'tinfu onikru, and either they got it dirty or made a hole in it. Mishalem nezek shalem he'elu afar o tsrorot mishalim chatzin nezek. Right, but if they cause dust to go flying or tsrorot and they cause the damage, then it's chatzin nezek. Sumchus omer nezek shalem. Another brayta. Tarni idach. Tarnigol shayam afriach mimakom lemakom v'yatzar ruach mitachak knafav v'shibrat hakelim mishalem chatzin nezek. So now, this one, by the way, doesn't mention Sumchus, so what's the Gemara going to say? Stamaka Rabbanan. Okay, this is like Rabbanan. Amar Rava. Now let's just think about their shito. Bishlama sumchus kasavar kocho kigufo dami. Why does sumchus hold your chayav nezek shalem? Because he says anything caused by your body, right? You cause one thing which caused something else. It doesn't matter if it's indirect. That's like gufo. Ela rabbanan ik gufo dami kule nezek ba'al shalem. So rabbanan doesn't make any sense because either it's kigufo, in which case you'd be chayav full damages. If it's not considered kigufo, then you should be patro legamre. So hadram arava laolam kigufe dami. It really is kigufo, and therefore you are responsible. The chatzin nezek troed hilchatagemirale, but it's halacha lamash misina that you're only chayav half damages. Okay.
So how can sumchus argue with
Because that's the thing. He doesn't think he has a different mesoret, and that's why I said it's unique. He doesn't think there's halacha lamash misina here. Okay, I'm just going to go on one more little bit because this is a little bit more complicated and I want to make sure you understand this. Amar Rava, kol shebezav tamei benezakim mishalem nezek shalem. Kol shebezav tahor benezakim mishalem chatzi nezek. Okay, now this is all, how do we figure out what's considered kigufo that's going to be considered not tzrarot and, you know, kocho kigufo or kocho that, okay, how do we determine what's kocho mamash and what's kocho midin tzrarot? So Rava has a unique opinion. What does he say? That if you remember with a Zav, what did we learn that's unique about a Tumah B'Zav? There's Tumat Hesed. What's Tumat Hesed? It means if I'm carrying something and that thing knocks into something else, even though I'm not actually right, generally say Tumat Maga. A Zav is unique that if he causes something to move something else, if he caused the movement of it, even though he didn't touch it, that's Matame. So likewise, we're going to say with Nezek. If you cause something, you're holding something and that pushes something else, so that's kocho mamash and you're chayav nezek shalem. But if it's bezav tahor, then it's only chatzin nezek. Like, for example, you throw something, and that's the case of tzrorot. With the tzrorot go flying, you're no longer touching the tzrorot. They go off on their own. Just like with a zav, you wouldn't be metame tumat hesed. Also in this law, you wouldn't be metame tzrorot. Okay, so then they say, well, what's his chiddush? That's din tzrorot. So they say, lo rava egla moshechet b'karon kamash malan. Okay, and then they're going to bring a bride to support it, and you can go on from here on your own. But what's the case? If there's an agala, that the animal is pulling the agala, and the agala tramples something, so that's tumat hesed. That would be mitame, because the animal is attached to the agala, and that's causing the damage. So you'd be chayav nezek shalem in that case. Whereas if it was something that was detached, you know, then it wouldn't be. Okay, and that's what halacha is trying to teach us. Okay.